Stacey Francis Bayman here. I'm really proud to be an ambassador for Flyhawk, leading the way for netball and women's sport. Flyhawk design and make netball dresses, have netball kit and netball team wear. Netballs plus much, much more. Head to flyhawk.com.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
On this episode of the Netball Show with Flyhawk, bit of a special looking ahead to the Thistles prep for the Netball World Cup. We'll be hearing from Tamsin Greenway, Emily Nicol, but first of all, Captain Claire Maxwell, who'll be there for her fourth World Cup. Claire, congratulations, you're off to Cape Town. And I suppose something that's never really taken for granted.
No, absolutely. It's always a huge honour when you're named in any Thistle squads, and we certainly don't take it for granted. Whether it's your first cap or your last cap, it's equally as exciting. You do the same amount of work behind the scenes as everyone else. So, yeah, really, really fortunate and really looking forward to being on that flight.
Third World Cup for you as well. How have you grown as a player?
I remember very fondly, well, not fondly, but I remember when we missed out on that first World Cup that we were competing for, and it was absolutely gut-wrenching. So for a World Cup for us, like, it is so vital within our calendar that we do qualify. And the growth from when I was first trying to get into a World Cup to now my third World Cup has been huge, not only in a leadership role, but also who I am as a player on and off the court. So a lot has changed, but I've learned a lot along the way, and I look forward to hopefully sharing that with all the players that are in the squad, because I think we've got about seven new caps.
Yeah,
well, new, not new caps, but they're new to playing a World Cup. It'll be their first World Cup, so a lot of people will be experiencing first within this competition.
You're right, seven players making a World Cup debut, including Iona and Hannah. What would be your advice to them? Just enjoy it, take in every possible moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Soak it all in. But know that you've done the hard work behind the scenes and have the confidence that you're here for a reason, and to be fearless out on court. Sometimes it's the greatest thing. Actually being new to a World Cup or new to the international teams we're going to come across, it can actually add as a secret weapon.
New Zealand have maybe potentially got a bit of a head start, given the fact that they've had a bit longer off-season, but a bit too early to call?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it'll be hotly contested out in South Africa. We're doing quite intense camp-based national sessions, so there's actually a lot of improvements we can still make in this build-up. And for us, we've not been together as a national squad, very similar to every other squad, for a while. So it'll be about getting those connections going as well, which is really exciting because you've seen players develop over the season. And I think we were only just beginning to tap into our potential over the last two competitions.
Group B is Malawi, Barbados, and then Roses as well. What are you expecting from those games? Going to be tricky?
I mean, there's no easy opposition when you hit a World Cup. But for us, in comparison to previous draws we've had, I think we're pretty content with the draw that we got. We're really looking forward to hitting Malawi in that first game. I think it'll be hotly contested. We didn't play them at the Commonwealth Games, but we did play them as a warm-up match, and it was very, very even. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to that challenge. And then we've played Barbados quite a few times within the last kind of couple of years. So, again, looking forward to hitting them. And then the Roses, we know what we're getting with the Roses. Obviously, they're jumping at the bit to try and get a medal at the World Cup. So, for us, it's about seeing where we're at, but also not being scared to take them on.
I'd expect there would be a lot of support from the UK for Scotland, Wales, as well as England. You'd be hoping for something similar to that kind of love for all the home teams that was there at the Commies?
Yeah, absolutely. The Commonwealth Games in the UK and the last World Cup was absolutely insane. The support, not only the home nations, to be fair, but the support we gave to netball as a whole was unbelievable. And we went out to South Africa in November, and although at that point the stadiums weren't full, the noise that Africans can bring is insane. They're really creative. They bring a lot of flair and noise to the environment. And it's something a lot of people probably haven't played within. Like, even the top nations haven't necessarily being exposed to an African crowd. So I'm really excited to see all the colour, all the dancing, all the cheering and whoops that we'll get from the African kind of crowd out there. But also we'll have a lot of support, I presume, from all the home nations and everyone back at home who'll be able to watch it. live on Sky.
Can't wait. Cheers, Claire.
Thank you very much.
Nat Metcalf here. I'm really proud to be an ambassador for Flyhawk, leading the way for netball and women's sport. Flyhawk design and make netball dresses, have netball kit, netball teamwear, and netballs, plus much, much more. Head to flyhawk.com now.
It's a netball show with Flyhawk, Emily Nicol. Let's go with Sirens season first before being obviously named as part of the World Cup squad. It was eighth this season, but maybe that doesn't realistically reflect some of the games that you've had.
Yeah, I'm trying individually not to focus too much on our placing in the table, because as you say, I'm not necessarily sure it reflects the hard work that we've done this season. And obviously every team within the Super League would probably say a similar thing. But I think for us, if you look at our goal difference in particular, like some teams have four more wins than us and we still have a better goal difference than them. So we've actually been in a lot of really closely contested games. And although it's a margin of one or two goals sometimes, it's actually a huge amount of work that separates whether you get over the line and get a win. So, you know, the franchise obviously needs to do a lot of work as to how we do change some of those losses into wins. But as a group, I think we have learned and progressed a lot. We had quite a lot of change in our team, and obviously a few injuries, which a few other teams had as well. But yeah, I think we've played some of the best netball that I've seen Sirens play. But again, the inconsistency is just too high to compete in that top level. So still lots of work to be done.
Yeah, but I mean, even if we look at something like round three, Bath only beat you by one. And if we take one of the Celtic clashes as well, you beat Dragons by 141-42. So it's things like that.
Yeah, so when we got to the last final few games, it was quite interesting because we were like, regardless of what happens in this game, like we've actually come across every scenario. We've had really close losses, we've had a draw, we've had a close win, we've had huge wins. So like we actually did feel very prepared towards the end, and they are all learning opportunities. Some of those girls, that's their first time playing like a starting position in Super League, and we did learn a lot. And you do learn how to manage the clock when it's getting close games, or just how to play under that pressure situation. And I think that's just a constant work on for what has been quite a young group.
What about fans at home? Are you noticing new fans consistently improving on a attendance basis?
Yeah, I think what was really promising actually is that like our last game, I think we actually got like a sellout or very close to it. So I think that's really promising to show that although the Super League runs for obviously quite a few months, that the engagement was still there towards the end. And I've noticed in particular our fan zone engagement after games has been brilliant. And what I'm noticing as well is that a lot of the young girls before, they would just recognise Sirens, whereas now it's individual players that they're recognising. And like they'll come up and they know, oh, that's Emily, that's Tawera. So I think we're now starting to see fans follow individual players, which again, I think is a step forward and will just help the game move forward. So yeah, I think it is promising. And I think we just need to keep building on it. It's not where we need it to be yet. But absolutely love any engagement that we can have.
And special that Claire was a mascot. She enjoyed it far too much by the look of it.
Yeah, that was a special moment for her, just to run out. You know, it was her last Sirens game under the helm of being the CEO. So, yeah, it was special for her. And she did have her high heels at the side, but had changed into trainers, thankfully.
Never World Cup squad's been named. Obviously, representing Scotland for you isn't something new, but I'd imagine it's still something you'd be equally as proud of every time you get the notification that you're part of it.
Oh, yeah, like, although I'm not new, like it's never taken for granted. And, you know, that hour before the selection email came out, you know, you're constantly nervous, checking your phone. And then once it lands and just to see your name there is a really special moment. And even though, like, for example, like I have been there for a while, like my mum still gets really emotional when I get selected. And it is just that it's that biggest honour. And it's the whole reason I play netball is to be a Thistle. I play Super League to be the best Thistle that I can be, because ultimately I just want Scotland just to really shine on that international stage. So
yeah, people like Kerry Sione, Rachel Hannah, it'll be their first World Cup for Scotland as well. What's that feeling like?
Yeah, I think it's actually, we've got like seven players or something that have never been to a World Cup before. And although a few of them have been to Commonwealth Games, I think what's special about the World Cup is that all the fans, everyone that's there, are all there to see netball, which compared to like a comm games, it's multi-sport, netball is just part of a much bigger picture. So to really be in the limelight, I think, is really special, and it's the sport deserves that moment. And I just think it's a similar style, obviously, a tournament style to a Commonwealth Games, but there are more games in a World Cup, and I feel like the netball world especially place a lot of focus on what happens at a World Cup. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to those girls getting to experience it, and I'm so glad that I get to experience another one.
We got a press release obviously saying the news, and it included 12 players are selected, have got 320 caps. You're the statistician here, so how many for you, how many for Claire Max?
Claire Maxwell definitely carries the load a lot. She's carrying over 100 for the squad, and then the rest are... We're significantly
I'm impressed.
Less.
Good on you.
I'm only sitting around 30, which only every time you get a cap is really special. But I think given COVID, and there was a few years where Thistles didn't really have any games at all, so I'm trying to rack them up as much as possible. But at the end of the day, I guess it is something that I think Thistles nowadays have is a lot more Super League experience. So in the past, you might have Thistles that have like a really high number of Scotland caps, but actually in a week-in, week-out basis, what experience are they getting? So I think if you look at it from a bigger picture in terms of how experienced are the squad, I think we actually probably punch above our weight in that sense. Like we've got Iona, me, we've got lots of girls that have now had a few years under the belt at that Super League level playing competitive netball. So I do like to think that... on the surface, we might not be one of the most experienced teams, but actually, we really do have that good experience behind us.
And it's Claire's third World Cup as well. That's something somewhere down the line you'll be hoping to follow in.
Oh, yeah. I've always said the only time I'll stop playing netball is when my body says no and I stop getting picked. Like, I Brilliant. Absolutely love it. And I keep telling Tams and I'll be here forever. So, yeah, I love it and I will just keep playing. I'll never say I want to play 3-4 World Cups, but whatever happens in my journey happens. I never thought I'd get to where I am now. So, yeah, I'm just so grateful for every opportunity. And, yeah, especially going to my second one is going to be special.
Netball Show with Flyhawk, bit of a Thistle special as we preview the Netball World Cup 2023. Tamsin, Netball World Cup's around the corner. We're looking forward to that, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that netball needs is this momentum in its life. You know, if you think about when the season ends, because we don't always have lots in the breaks, it's a long time before the next season starts. So to have World Cup, to have England with an opportunity, to have so many Super League players performing for different teams out there, and then to have world netball closer than it's ever been, I think this and to have all the games shown over here as well on South African time, which means we'll be able to watch, is just incredible.
And you've named that team for World Cup in South Africa. Another tricky process? More players stepping up?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, part of my role at Scotland was to make sure we're building the depth and the talent in our programme. We're not where, you know, Australia or England are yet. I think when the England team got announced, you could have named 3 or 4 players, more than that, probably 2 in each position that you've gone, God, they're unlucky not to be there. So I think we're happy with our progress and where we're going. And it was a long-term build. You know, we've gone with youngsters. We've still got 2 keepers that will step out of the World Cup that have never played Super League netball. So, you know, we know where we're at, but I'm excited about our group and what we're trying to do.
And naming people like Hannah and Iona, obviously their first Netball World Cup, that experience for them is going to be vital and one of the most excitable and enjoyable parts of your job, at least.
Absolutely. And look, Bar Brownie, who takes our average age up, that's a group in there that could do another 2, some of them 3 cycles. Like, how exciting is that? And you've got to start somewhere. Look, I think world netball is in a funny state at the moment. You've got 2 choices. You either try and make quick fixes and try and go looking for certain players and doing certain things, or you actually go, how are you ever going to bridge the gap? And if you really want to bridge the gap, you've got about 20 years of catching up to do. So you've got to put in programs, coaches, systems, competitions, exposure. You've got to get the right people at the right time, and you've got to start building, because if you do genuinely want to bridge a gap, there is no jump 2-footed in. You just have to do the work, and that's what we're doing at Scotland, and I'm really proud of that.
Where do you think some of the most challenging games will come?
I mean, all of them for us will be challenging. It's not like in England where you can sort of tick some of them off.
Yeah.
Look, we've got Malawi, Barbados and England in our group. You know, we're not going to beat England, but we'll enjoy playing and playing at that level against them. Malawi, we need to have a crack at, but realistically they should beat us, but that won't stop us. We will go in there and have a real crack at them. And Barbados, we need to win, and that's our reality. And if we get that, then we get a great crossover and we'll get opportunities against teams like Tonga, who have miraculously managed to bump up to something like sixth or seventh in the world, which is incredible how world netball rankings work, the joys of being a lower nation. But yeah, we'll get an opportunity at teams like that, which I'll be really excited about.
And it always surprises me that we ask the Scotland head coach about England, but Tamsin wouldn't have it any other way, really, would we?
No, I know. It is quite bizarre, actually, when I did an article about it the other week and I had to remind people, I'm not actually picking it. I'm just asked for opinions. And you know what? I come at it from an England point of view. I'm just a fan as well. Like, obviously, I do a lot of analysis and I'm involved in the game. But for me, it comes across as all different aspects. And anyway, I think it's always an exciting time when Netball World Cup comes around for those selected. And obviously, sadly, it's always gutting for those that don't get in. It's going to continue to be one of the hardest things selecting for England now, because there's so many quality players, whether it's experienced players, youth coming through, those on the fringe, whatever. So individually, obviously, there's no one in there that you would doubt at all. I think the problem with selection, and this is the thing, you can't just take it as the group selected today or yesterday or whatever. This is like the makings of like the last 2.5 years about who's been exposed, what positions we've covered, what we've done behind the scenes to get to a point. And so if I'm being honest, I think it scares me a little bit that it's unbalanced in terms of only taking 3 shooters, because that is a risk. And by taking 5 midcourt to cover a wing attack situation is probably because of the problems that we've got into in the past.
The Fox article that you wrote as well suggested that Jess had the ability to select some next generation players. In your opinion, has she managed to do that?
I don't think it's probably been as brave as I'd have liked to have been. Obviously, Liv Sheen being in there is huge. We knew Fumi, like I was championing her for last year for the Commonwealth Games, and I think she proved why she could have gone to the Commonwealth Games when 3 months later she was absolutely starring in the Australian series. So I think that was really important. But I almost think it was forced, wasn't it, really? Because after the Commonwealth Games, Stacey retiring, Ebony retiring, Joey now retiring, that when you have an aging squad, you've got the danger, if you haven't brought any youth through, that at some point you've got to just whack them in there. So I'm really pleased those two have got a nod. Fran Williams being in that squad after the form she's put in this season, that actually shows reward for what players are doing. So I think that's really important. And you're starting to see a generational sort of shift, which is great, needed to happen. You know, it would have been a risk to take many more youngsters. And I get that. You've got to have experience at a World Cup as well. So we're starting to get the balance, probably in the positions that we need to have it in. I'm not sure we've addressed that yet.
For those that haven't seen the article, remind us what you said about Helen Housby.
What, that she's amazing or...
Just some of weekly commitments in the Suncorp that you'd like to see in the England dress.
I think we all watch her in Swifts and just, you know, she's just gets them over line and she's absolutely incredible and you don't ever doubt that. It's not that I don't think she wants to do it in England dress. I think we've got to make a style that helps her do it in an England dress, because you know the way Elle's been playing this season, if you partner that with Helen, our attack end is actually unstoppable. Like, that circle is frightening. I just think we've got to work out how it looks frightening on an international level. You know, since Serena left at centre, so not just about off the court what Serena's given, but on the court, like, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. And I'm not sure we've filled that void yet. And so Nat is having to do a hell of a lot of work at times in that position. Nat is a special person. She's an absolute winner. And actually letting her thrive in the Thunder environment this year, I mean, she's been insane. She's like Liz Watson vibes, taking every other ball, controlling that Thunder attack end. And to me, back playing her very, very best.
It's been really important, and it will be really important this time around for Jaden Jeeva with the amount of World Cups that they would have taken part in. What's that like as a player? Maybe a word on Jeeva as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's absolutely mad. I said when JD, you know, got her, was it a 200th cap? It's so special. I mean, I can't remember a time with Jade and Jeeva not in the England squad, and I'm getting on now. So, I mean, it's pretty impressive. And I mean, they're just incredible people as well. A, to be the athletes they are at their current age and doing what they're doing, and that commitment as well. I think people forget like how much you've given up. These players have played in the era where we weren't getting paid and we were just giving up all our time and our life to do something and create something special. And they've been forefront and centre on that. So yeah, absolutely incredible. And Jeeva, I mean, she's just a legend of the game, isn't she?
End of. we've both been championing the game for quite a long time. Jess was on Radio 4. She was followed by the horse racing tips. Hardly ideal, but at least they're actually bothering this time around and getting the priorities right.
Is that what they're doing? Yeah. I didn't hear that one. And don't you dare ask me for any horse riding tips, because it's just not going to happen.
We're not a horse riding tip podcast, so that's all right. But yeah, good. The fact that Radio 4 is still mentioning things like this, and eventually that shift is beginning to turn.
Look, we know netball has still a long way to go, but we have momentum. We've got to use it. You know, a great World Cup bouncing off the back of that will really help moving it forward. Super League now, I'm just so delighted Claire Nelson is in charge of that aspect. You know, if there's anybody that can commercially turn it around and push us forward into the new era, she can do that. And England have a massive role to play in how their performance on and off the court is going to set us forward. And it's such a special team. There's so many great personalities in there. They've got a real opportunity at World Cup. You know, reality is, I know the disappointment off the back of the Commonwealth. We all felt it. The players felt it. Coaches felt it. Fans felt it. We were all gutted, right? But, you know, this team on its day can beat the top sides. And if they go in and just do something special at this World Cup, we have a real opportunity to use that momentum again moving forward and push the sport forward. So I think we're there. We're on the cusp. We're on that edge. I'm ever going to be the optimist. I'm going to be rooting for England when, of course, Scotland aren't playing us. And, you know, I really want to see this group do something special at the World Cup. And hopefully we can then start using that off the court as well to start building our sport that we love.
Are you happy with who you've chosen?
Yeah, I'm very happy. I think the aim for me, you know, whereas England have got endless amounts of names that could miss out on the World Cup, our aim was to keep building our talent pool. And we've done that this year. So even from last year at Commonwealth Games, I had more names in the mix to pick from this year, which is credit to people like Karen Atkinson and all the work that's doing in the pathway, Rach Kremen and Leslie McDonald behind the scenes to make sure we're stepping it up. I've been having countless conversations with Sarah Frances-Bayman. She'll be back in. She only misses one camp and then she'll be in for the rest of the build-up, which is so different to last year at Commies. So we're in a really good place. You know, England are not a team I'll even be focusing on as a coach at the World Cup. They're in our pool. It'll be a great little match for us, but that's it. We've got other priorities that we want to do. You know, we're not matching up against them in any way, shape or form. We're realistic about that, but we've got a great group. We're really excited about that. And actually, I'll be able to sit back and do what I did at the Commies, have a look at those top four or five sides and enjoy the ride like everyone else.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcast rail.